evam vimrishya tam papam yadvat atmani darshanam pujayam asavai sariram bahumana purasaram evam. In this way, Vimrishya, after contemplating, tam, unto Kamsa, papam, the most sinful, yavat, as far as possible, atmani darshanam, with all the intelligence possible within himself, pujayam, asa, praised, vai, indeed, sari, vasudeva, bahumana, offering all respects, pura saram, before him. Translation. After thus considering the matter as far as his knowledge would allow, Vasudeva submitted his proposal to the sinful Kamsa with great respect. Verse 53. Prasanam vadanam bojam nirsasam nirupatrapam manasam duyamanenam vihasam idamabravit. Vasudeva's mind was full of anxiety because his wife was facing danger. But in order to please the cruel, shameless, and sinful Kamsa, he externally smiled and spoke to him as follows. Purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes one must act duplicitously in a dangerous position, as Vasudeva did to save his wife. The material world is complicated, and so to execute one's duty, one cannot avoid adopting such diplomacy. Vasudeva did everything possible to save his wife for the sake of begetting Krishna. This indicates that one may act duplicitously for the purpose of saving Krishna and his interest. According to the arrangements already foretold, Krishna was to appear through Vasudeva and Devaki to kill Kamsa. Vasudeva therefore had to do everything to save the situation. Although all the events were prearranged by Krishna, a devotee must try his best to serve the purpose of Krishna. Krishna himself is all-powerful, but it is not that the devotee should therefore sit idly and leave everything to him. This instruction is also found in the Bhagavad Gita. Although Krishna was doing everything for Arjuna never sat down idly as a non-violent gentleman. Rather, he tried his best to fight the battle and be victorious. Sometimes we use this same statement, act like it depends on you, but know it depends on Krishna. Act like it depends on you, and know it depends on Krishna. So, if you take that in the literal sense, then ultimately it's Krishna that makes the difference. But how does he make the difference? He makes the difference by the endeavor of the devotee. When Mother Yasoda tried to tie up baby Krishna, she couldn't. She had bhakti, and she was doing it in the role of a mother, doing her duty to, you know, take care of her son. And she was in the right position, but she couldn't accomplish the activity. Only when Krishna decided, all right, I'll let my mother tie me up, then it happened. Everything else was extraordinary. The rope was always 2 inches too short, and no matter how many ropes they brought from different places, couldn't tie him up. So Krishna is the ultimate principle of activity and the ultimate principle of success. But the devotee, as Prabhupada makes this point very clearly in this, devotees shouldn't become lazy because of that, or inactive, or simply depend on Krishna without making an effort. In fact, Prabhupada said our efforts are really, we make strong efforts to accomplish what we want to accomplish. But we know, in the background, Krishna's there. He makes the difference to give the results or not give the results, or he may give different results. So a devotee knows that, and therefore it appears that they're acting just like the ordinary materialists who are working hard to achieve whatever they're trying to achieve, some money, some position, some relationships. You know, they excavate mountains just to, so they can drive cars in between. They call it a tunnel. Like I was driving the other day, we were going to Salya. We passed this tunnel under, and the tunnel was 2,821 kilometers long. Not kilometers, meters, I'm sorry. That would have been a long drive. Now, meters. I was thinking, wow, they had to blast this mountain in order just to drive their motor cars from one place to another. So they make these big endeavors, how much money, time, effort, energy they spent on doing things. So devotees also, when we want to build temples or distribute books or even, you know, take care of preaching programs, we make nice arrangements, we work hard, we did everything. But a devotee never thinks it's by my efforts that things happen or don't happen. The devotee depends on Krishna. And this is the principle of freedom. Because it's not just a principle of activity, it's a principle of freedom. Because the non-devotees get entangled in the activities and put so much emphasis on the results of their activity. And therefore, when their activity doesn't come out according to their plan, they become discouraged, frustrated, sometimes angry. Or even they give up. But a devotee knows he has to make his best effort. And that best effort is bhakti. That's the point. Your best effort is your indication of your bhakti. So Prabhupada used to say, Krishna doesn't see how much you're giving. He sees how much you're holding back. He sees how much you're holding back. So to hold back means you're not able to make advancement in a qualitative way. Because Krishna ultimately, and when he sees you're giving everything to your efforts in devotional service, your time, your energy, your intelligence, even your resources too, your words, then Krishna actually gives you more. He expands whatever you have unlimitedly. That's why devotees can do some amazing things, because they're trying their best, and Krishna says, oh, wow, they're giving everything they can in order to serve me. So let me give them more facilities. Let me give them more time. And Krishna is always there to somehow inspire the devotees to continue to give more and more and more. And that's how Krishna consciousness expands, like that. It's by the grace of Krishna, but by the efforts of the devotees who want to serve Krishna. But we're limited. We can only go so far in what our abilities and our intelligence will apply. As it says here, Vasudev gave everything according to the ability of his intelligence. In other words, it says here in the translation, or not in the translation, it's the purport. What does it say here? It's interesting. Vasudev therefore had to do everything to save the situation. Vasudev did everything possible to save his wife from sinking from the dangers of Kamsa. Yeah. And Krishna himself is all powerful, but not the devotee should therefore sit idly and leave everything up to Krishna. So he gave whatever he could in terms of, it required intelligence. But his intelligence was somewhat used in a way to dupe or to trick Kamsa into getting him to do what Vasudeva wanted to do. Prabhupada says, when you're dealing with cheaters, sometimes you have to cheat. See, that is the way of the world. People will try what they can to cheat you and sometimes undermine you or even destroy you. So sometimes we have to use methods in order to protect Krishna's interests, and also our devotional life. So that happens at times. Examples are given just like when the draft came up in 1967-68 for the Vietnam War in America. They couldn't get, you know, young men to join the services to fight in Vietnam, so they adopted this emergency policy called the draft. And what they did is they have a lottery system you go and you register, they give you a card and they give you a number from 1 to 365. And that number corresponds with your date of birth. So, and then they have a lottery, they put their hands in this big basket of, you know, paper or balls or something, and then they pick out. And the first date that they pick out is anybody born on that date gets the first call for the draft. Like that. And if you're 365, you probably won't get called. So, devotees who were getting called, not devotees, but people who were getting called, they were doing everything to avoid, because then they would have to go for a physical to see if they were fit. So devotees were not eating. People were not eating and becoming emaciated. People were taking large amounts of drugs, so when they came in, they were intoxicated or sickly looking. They did everything they can to avoid the draft. And even people left the United States and went to Canada. Canada was giving sanction to the draft dodgers up there. And so you might say, is that, well, the fact is, United States at that time, it was fighting an unauthorized war simply for economic reasons, that's all. And therefore, they were using young men to die. 55,000 Americans died in that war. I was in that same category. I was draft age. And I was thinking, I don't want to go to Vietnam. How can I avoid going to Vietnam? And I wasn't into all of these tricks, so I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll join the army, and that way I can pick where I can go. Because they said, you join, and then you can have so many opportunities where you can go. But that's cheating. It's lying. So my friend and I encouraged him to join together. We joined. And as soon as I joined, after a few months, they sent me to Vietnam. So they lied. They cheated. And I was thinking, if I join, I'll somehow avoid going to Vietnam. But that's the way they do things. They'll say anything in order to get their policies going. But you saw so many men hundreds, even thousands of young men did everything they could to avoid the draft. They even, when they had the urine test, they were putting, I don't know what they were doing, but they were making sure that there was blood in the urine. So when they saw, that means these people are really sick or they're too many drugs. People did everything to avoid the draft. And the draft was illegal anyway. And at the same time, the war was illegal. It was not actually a war. It was actually just a... just to sell armaments to the communists, and they degraded, they did this war. And American lost the war anyway. So, yeah, we see that sometimes when you're dealing with a cheater, you have to cheat. But generally, devotees are honest, they're straightforward, they follow the principles of, you know, even ordinary parlance, such as truthfulness, they don't lie. But sometimes, in order to protect Krishna's interests, as it says here, which was Vasudeva was doing, what did he do? He came up with this plan to trick Kamsa to in such a way that Kamsa would think, oh, well, there's no danger from my sister's eighth child. If all of the children are going to be brought to me beforehand. So he calculated that Vasudeva is a gentleman, and I know he will keep his word. And he did. He did keep his word in that sense. But of course, when the eighth child was born, he took that eighth child, who was Krishna, and in the middle of the night, by the arrangement of Krishna, he snuck out of the jail and took Krishna to Vrindavan for safety. And tricked Kamsa and brought back the girl that was born to Yasoda. And when Kamsa saw that, he was bewildered. He was thinking, what are these prophecies? They don't lie, but now they're lying. So, yeah. So this is a very nice example of how... And Prabhupada also speaks about it, like he says, he gives an example. When you're out preaching and you're trying to distribute books and you're talking to a person and you say, my dear sir, I have met so many people today, but I can see you are the most intelligent one I met today. I can see you have all good qualities, you're intelligent, and this book will be is perfect for you because it's for intelligent people. It's not for everybody. So it's not by accident that we met today. It's by higher arrangements. So therefore, in fact, I can see with my spiritual vision, this book has your name on it. So in that way, you come out, you butter the guy up, and you know, as much as you can. And if he buys the book, it's for his benefit. So Prabhupada would use similar language to somehow or other get people to take a book. It's like, yeah, it's similar, but not exactly what I said. So, yeah, but it's for the benefit of Krishna, it's benefit for the person that is receiving the book, like that. It's like the devotees I wasn't there. I think Prahladananda Maharaj was there at the time. He was in Texas, and they had this one yogi. His name was, what was his name? Young boy yogi, what was his name? He was about 11 years old. Maharaj Ji. Yeah, Maharaj Ji. He was a young boy, and his mother brought him out of Hardwar. They were living in Hardwar, the holy place. And she brought him to the United States, and then he had some power. And so he would touch people on the head, and they would hear, they would see colors, and bells would go off. They would hear music and all that. So that was his whole program. He would say he would give them the knowledge just by touching him. So his mother and him, he said, well, he is actually Krishna himself. And he would dress up in a yellow dhoti with a peacock feather. So he looked like Krishna. He was a cute little boy, 11 years old. And so his mother was doing that. So I remember I was there in... When I first joined the movement, it was around the same time. His group of devotees were there also. And they would come to our temple. They came to our temple because there was some problems with the guru. They wanted our help. But anyway, one time they hired a huge stadium in Texas. And he was there to give a lecture, and thousands of people came for that lecture. And so the devotees heard about it. They thought, wow, here's a great opportunity to sell books. So they brought just the Bhagavad Gitas. And they brought tons of Bhagavad Gitas. And then when he was speaking, the devotees were going through the crowd and saying, he's Krishna, right? And this is his word, so this is his book. So you should buy this book because it's actually his words, your actual guru, Krishna. So people were buying books like crazy. We sold thousands of books that day. And the devotees cleaned up, you know, to use a word. And then finally somebody got onto it that these Hare Krishnas are cheating us. Jai Sisi Panchatattva Ki Jai. But they all got a Bhagavad Gita and they all gave a nice, you know, donation. And the devotees were happy and, you know, nobody really lost anything. Everything was beneficial. But the devotees had to use some line, some trick line, in order to get them to buy the books. So sometimes we do that for the benefit of Krishna, for the benefit of people in general. But if you're not expert at it, don't try it. Because you may also get caught like that. So, yeah, but Vasudev, he's intelligent. And therefore he's using his intelligence to save a very precarious and dangerous situation. Kamsa, he's a demon. He doesn't care. He, as probably mentioned so many times in our lectures, demons will do anything. They'll do anything. They'll kill their parent, just like this Aurangzeb. He took his father and put him in prison. His father had built the Taj Mahal in honor of his wife. That's what Taj Mahal is. It's a tribute by Shah Jahan, who was the emperor at the time, to his wife. I forgot her name. And he, you know, he was envious of his father and of his brothers. So he became powerful, took his father, put him in jail, and built a prison right next to the Taj Mahal with the windows facing the other direction. So he couldn't see what he built for his wife. And then he killed his brothers and took over the whole kingdom. That was, you know. So you see, he didn't care about his brothers, his father, nothing. He wanted that kingdom. So that's the demons are like that. They'll do anything. Probably we see the example of Hiranyakashipu. His son, such a nice boy, devotee of God, very respectful to his father, very obedient, up to a point. And when Prahlad became a devotee of the Lord, he wanted to kill him immediately. So, yeah, you'll see demons are like that. They have no remorse, no, what we say, guilt feelings about killing anyone. They'll kill anyone and everyone if it interferes with their sense gratification or their plans for sense gratification. So when you deal with persons like that, sometimes duplicity in order to save a situation is actually the need at the time. So we see that here. Okay, so we'll stop here, see if there's any comments, questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
We got three Mukundas actually. He's on the altar too, Mukunda. It's another name for the Lord. Okay.
Okay. Just questioning, how far can you go in Sankirtan with telling some things to get the books?
Yeah, you know, it's Prabhupada said not everybody can do that. But he was saying that sometimes, what we say, you have to, in order to further Krishna's business. But you can't steal in the name of, you know, Krishna consciousness. It's like in the old days, in the America, when we were doing book distribution, especially in the airports, there was a tactic that people would have, devotees would have. They would go up to a person, and then they would be trying to sell a book, and then they would say, you know, I have this, I have all of these ones. Can you give me a big bill for the ones, the $1 bills? So the person would give a $10 bill, and the devotees would give eight back. And then the devotees would say, can you leave it like that? So they would call, it was called the change-up, where they would ask for some exchange of currency, and then when the exchange come, they wouldn't give the exact amount. So, and then, of course, we got a bad reputation for that. And then there was one very horrible story where one man, I won't describe who he was, because you might know him. He was approached by the book distributor, and then they tried to change him up, but he resisted. And then the devotee got angry and hit the man. And then the police came and arrested the devotee. Arrested the devotee. But because this devotee, this man, his father, his son was a devotee, he didn't press any charges. He said, my son is a devotee. So he let him go. But that became, so this was quite far in the area of cheating. So not everybody can do that. Okay. You're using your freedom to answer your phone, okay. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Higher call. So the point is, yeah, you can't, not everyone can do that and expect that that's considered to be okay. Yes.
I think it also, Maharaj, once you said that we should also try to endeavor to sell the books by the merit of the books, right?
Yeah.
So this is also something that we should try to endeavor to develop.
There's many statements about book distribution. Another one is by hook or by crook. Of course, there is an instrument called a crook. When you take it, it's like a thing that's a circle, and you grab somebody and you pull them in. So by hook or by crook. But it has another connotation that means somehow or other get the book out. Doesn't matter. So that also became a source of problems in our society. And we had a lot of problems because of that. We had fist fights in the airports. Devotees were battling with people physically. The old days, especially in Chicago. There was one devotee who was a bodyguard. He would go out with the devotees and, because he knew there would be a fight, so he would go home. So that was the old days. Of course, we're not doing that anymore, hopefully, because that is not the way to win friends and influence people. So yeah, try to sell it on the merit of the book. Yes. Mm-hmm. Give her the microphone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I just have one question. When a person leaves the body, and according to his karma, you know, we go to whichever planet we have, you know, according to our karma. So whatever activities we have done to prepare ourselves for the next life. So I'm just thinking about it. So I'm just thinking about it. If
you can put it closer, don't you?
No. Okay. So I'm just thinking that. Do we remember what we have done throughout the life? If somebody goes to upper planetary system, so do we remember every person that we met in our life or people that we were surrounded with? Do we remember those people? And do we also remember that this is the results of my... Because if somebody has a lot of pious activities, so certainly he may be going to upper planetary system. So will that person actually remember that this is the result of my pious activities? That's why I'm here.
Well, complete remembrance is only for those who are liberated. When one achieves liberation, then they're no longer encumbered by the material energy, and they can remember past, present, and future. But going to heavenly planets, one is not liberated. They're just getting a better material situation, that's all. So there may be some remembrance, but not complete. So whether they can remember what they want to remember or not is somewhat questionable because they're not in the platform of liberation. But we do have a certain level of remembrance. So it is possible that you could remember that situation. You could. If Krishna allows you to remember, or if there's some benefit in actually remembering it. But you can't say for sure whether a person will remember the situation that brought them to where they are now. Could be, could not be. Because karma is quite, we say, complex. There's so many aspects to it that what actually brings a person to another situation, what aspect of their karma is that? Because people perform so many different activities. So, but that's more like a cumulative type of karma, which means it builds up for many lives. Yeah. There's different levels of karma. There is what is called instant karma. There is mass karma. There is two other karmas. I can't think of the other two. What is the other ones? Instant karma is when you do something and something immediately happens based on the activity. Say you say something nice to someone, they'll say something nice back to you maybe, and vice versa. Mass karma is when so many people all at once get a reaction, just like a plane crash or when maybe a couple hundred people. There is, what is the other karmas? I'm trying to think of them.
The one which is yet to come, that one.
Yeah, but these karmas build. It's like, I forgot, what is it called? So many of this other kind of karmas bring you to your next birth. It's called, My mind is not so good.
Is this Bijam Kutam Prapta Prapta? This one, the four Bijam Kutam Prapta and Prapta. Think that.
You chanting a verse?
No, the four kinds of this one, Bijam, then Kutam, then Prapta.
Well, these are different stages by which karma travels. The Bij, the Parabdha Karma, Aparabdha Karma. Kuta, Bija, Parabdha, and Aparabdha, yeah. But that refers to one type of karma that is playing itself out from the beginning as it goes to the different stages. I heard this lecture many years ago. Just like what determines your birth, it's not just one thing. 27, the number is 27, I remember that. 27 types of, certain type of karma, 27 times. When it's cumulative, it will bring you to your particular birth that you get in the next life. Forgot what it's called. I have to hear the lecture again. So, yeah, there's four kinds of karmas, mass karma, instant karma. Just like there's a kind of karma where you do something, but you're not in a position to get the reaction immediately. And again, the example is Dhritarashtra, when he asked Krishna, you know, I had 100 sons, and they all died in the battlefield. I was born blind. Why? And Krishna said, well, 50 lives ago, you were a hunter, and you shot a flaming arrow into a nest of birds. This is in the Mahabharata. And there was 100 birds in the nest, and then all the birds died, and the mother bird got away, but she was blinded by the fire. So Dhritarashtra said, wow, 50 lives. Why 50 lives ago? And Krishna said, well, it took you 50 lives to get enough good karma so you could have 100 sons. So then when you had that situation, then all your karma crashed in. So that's called delayed karma. That's right. Yeah, and I remember that one, delayed karma. So we have delayed karmas sometimes coming from previous lives that manifest in this life or maybe even in the next life. So it's also that stages of the Kuta, Bija, Parabdha, and Aparabdha. Yeah. So when people ask about karma, and Krishna makes a statement, he says, the intricacies of karma are too difficult to understand. So 27 delayed karmas, when they build up, will bring you to your birth. That means these activities that you performed in that life will bring you to your next birth. It takes 27 of them to get to that next birth. That's called delayed karma. That's what happened to Dhritarashtra. So. And it's happening to everyone also. That's why the example is given. Just like people say, well, you know, he's such a bad person, but he's getting on. You know, he has a lot of money. He seems to be very successful. He looks happy. But he's always doing bad things. What is that? Well, the example is if you have you know what a silo is? For those of you who work on farms, they put grains in the silo. And if you want to store grains, you put it in this thing called a silo. And on the bottom, it has a door. And when you want the drain, you open the door, and then the grains come out. But you put it in the top, which is really big, and you store them there. So as you store them and use them, they're going down like this. So what people are doing now is what they're putting on the top, and what they're getting now is what's on the bottom. So a bad person may be getting the results of their good karma immediately, but in due course of time, that other karma will catch up. So that's very instructive for devotees, because sometimes we see and try to understand how situations are going, but you can't see, right? And just like a nice person might be suffering so much because they're getting the results of their bad karma, maybe from another life or from the beginning of the life they have. Like Prabhupada said, if you're a murderer and somehow you escaped in that life and you didn't get punished, and your next life you're born in a very terrible situation. You're poor, you're ugly, you always be implicated in what we say, many kinds of legal activities. So, yeah, so it catches. And karma is exact. The only way you can stop karma or change karma is become Krishna conscious. That's the only way. Then karma no longer has the same effect. Then when you become Krishna conscious, your good karma and your bad karma is slowly becoming absolved or destroyed. And you're left with only bhakti, which is good. So what you get in devotional service is coming from Krishna and not from your previous karma. Maybe when you first join, you're still getting a little bit of your previous karma because the wheel of karma is still turning yet. But after some time, that wheel will stop as you stay in devotional service. And then when devotees either suffer or enjoy, it's not due to karma. It's due to Krishna's arrangements in order for Krishna to elevate the person or to correct the person. Either one. It's an interesting science. One young boy, he was in one of our gurukuls in Europe. It was in Finland, I think. And the boy was abused quite badly when he was there. And he wrote a book, My Karma, My Fault. Not to blame anybody for what he had to go through. He said, My Karma, My Fault. It's a book. And when that book hit the devotee community, it really shook people up because he told his whole story. But he was not vengeful, but at the same time, he could see that, yeah, I was put in this situation because of maybe what I did in the past. But it's hard to. It's why you can't understand how these laws are working. But they're working perfectly. They're Krishna's laws. If you want to be free from all of this, just stay in devotional service, and you get free from all of your good and bad karma, and you get what is called akarma, that activity that produces no material results. That's devotional service. So whatever you do is bringing you closer to Krishna through devotional service. It's purifying your heart, it's moving you along the path like that. If you make mistakes, or if you don't follow bhakti properly, then you slow down your progress. Yeah. And if you read Madhurya Kandambini, which is a very scientific book of how to execute devotional service and avoid the faults in bhakti, because bhakti has faults too. There are six major faults, and then there's anarthas that also are the foundation by which the faults come from. So the whole science of bhakti is very complex. But if you chant Hare Krishna a lot, I mean, not just occasionally, a lot, you can destroy all the results of your previous karma. There's where you're, what we say, you can make fast advancement. Chant more and more and more. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.